Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. I want to start the show today, tonight, whatever time it is when you're listening, by just giving a shout out to some of the listeners who came out to see me and Rhea up at Sketchfest this weekend. We had some folks come out. Oh my goodness. We did get not only prints of Ricky, Rhea, and I as cats, which I forgot to bring tonight, Ricky, but it is in the mail. I will bring it next time we record. And also, we got sweatbands with unicorn horns sewn onto them.
And our dog
as an engagement gift.
That's beautiful.
And a lot of those people came out because they came to see me do stand-up, or they came to see Rhea and I at Put Your Hands Together. So this is a great time to mention that if you like this show and you'd like to hear more stand-up from us, you can listen to Put Your Hands Together, which is another podcast that Rhea and I co-host. Ricky, you will have another spot on there soon.
Yes, I will.
You can hear Ricky do some stand-up as well.
Yeah, you're...
Also, hey, that's on iTunes and stuff. And other things. You can find it on Libsyn or whatever. I don't even know if you can search that. Anyway, it's on the internet. Look down there. Put Your Hands Together is what it's called.
Pie hat.
Pie hat, as we all say.
Piet.
It rolls trippingly off the tongue.
Mm.
And I also want to let you guys know that if this is some way relevant to your life, I will be at the Telluride Comedy Festival on February 15th and 16th, which is apparently in a snow mountain. And then I will be at the Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis, Minnesota, February 19th to 22nd. I just want to let you guys know those things in case you feel like coming to hang out and bringing me a unicorn horn sweatband. We will be back to welcome our co-hosts to the show right after this. And we are back. That's our new coming back song. Hey, who's on the show? I'm already prepping for going to Minnesota. Hey, who's on the show? It's Rhea Butcher.
Oh, hater.
Rhea Butcher, the Lady James Dean, or the Lady Jimmy Dean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but veggie sausage, though.
Yes, veggies. They don't think they make veggie sausage.
No, Jimmy Dean does not make veggie sausage yet.
Yeah, they do make a disgusting little, like, hunk of that. I don't know if you've ever had Jimmy Dean sausage, Rhea, lifelong vegetarian.
I haven't tasted it. In my never eating meat life.
Even in the commercials, it doesn't look that good because they sell it by like the hunk, you got to slice it.
To me, it looks like.
Oh, are you into it, Ricky?
Yeah.
Looks like the patties from a Barbie Play-Doh crossover McDonald's playset. I don't think that ever existed.
Well, wait a minute. If it looks like that, then that should look delicious because I was always pretty into Play-Doh food. Play-Doh?
Play-Doh.
Play-Doh food. Play-Doh food. Play-Doh food.
Do the do.
You know,
Play-Doh food.
By the way, that's. It's an offshoot of FUBU. Play-Doh food.
Pluto.
Ricky, the Avro spokesman, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. What they do, people? What's popping? All that good stuff.
I like your shirt. I know people can't see it, but it's like elephants drinking PBR.
Yeah, you're...
Are they actually drinking it, though, or are they just hanging out around it?
Yeah, I think they're just, like, thinking about drinking it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this dude right here...
checking it out.
He's about to dip his trunk in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
See if there's any, like, you know, maybe it's like peanuts or something in there, you know?
Size-wise, big cans of PBR.
Yeah.
Or... teeny elephants. Mm. It's hard to tell from the shirt because there's no other size context. You know what I mean, Ricky?
I've never thought about that story. So I'm going to need to marinate on that for a minute. And then I'm gonna
marinate some Jimmy Dean sausage for a minute and then get back to me.
So today we have some news and a game, news and reviews and things you can use. And the review is of 2013's Ninja 2 or Ninja : Shadow of a Tear. Which is currently available on Netflix Watch Instant. Now, if you haven't seen it, it should be Shadow of a Terror, because if you haven't seen this movie yet and you're at this point in the show, you're like, oh, should I pause? I didn't see that yet. Is there going to spoil it? There's no way it could possibly be spoiled.
There's no spoilers in this movie.
Because
there's no spoilers in this movie.
This movie is already spoiled. And by that I mean rank. And by that I mean disgusting. And by that I mean it is an egg that is growing a little green thing on it.
That's gross.
Who cares?
That's too far.
Who cares if it's gross?
That was a lot.
Is it accurate? Is it true?
I think it's a little.
Is it a floppy piece of celery? Answer me this. You got a celery. You didn't use it because you thought you were having bloodies, but nobody came over. So then you didn't have bloodies anyway because you weren't drinking. And then you just have the celery around. You wiggle it. It's floppy. You can't eat that. You could chop it. You could put it in soup, but you would still know it was floppy in your mind.
I guess I would say that Ninja 2 is the shadow of a floppy celery.
Yeah. Ninja 2 Shadow of a Movie.
Are you not? I think you're confusing it with Ninja Veggie Tales. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. We are the pirates. You know what? I actually have seen Veggie Tales.
Fruit Ninja. You're getting this confused with Fruit Ninja, the video game on your phone.
We are the pirates who don't do anything. I had a really religious friend in college, and she showed me some Veggie Tales.
Oh, okay.
And those tales were religious. I will say that. Hey, we are going to get... We are going to get right into some movie news. Now, there's a theme to the movie news for today. It's a little bit outside of the way we usually do it. I felt like there were three topics that we just needed to discuss this week. And all of them are kind of about like how fans or movie watchers should interact with film and the people that are in movies and the characters that they love. So we're going to start pretty lighthearted. We're going to end pretty heavy-hearted. And,
sure you don't want to do it the other way around?
I like this.
I can't. I don't know if I can.
I don't mean to call an audible. I'm just curious.
I mean, I guess.
Are we going to be the Seahawks?
Like, it feels like I'm
going
to need to take a
the
break
Broncos
after we get to the.
Sounds good.
I'm going to need to reset with a little.
We'll start Seahawks and end Broncos. Sounds good.
Yeah. Hey, great Super Bowl references.
Thank you.
One of those people lost, and
pretty
that guy
badly.
Really made a poopy.
Yeah.
He was not good. What about if you're poor Peyton Manning? I mean, he's not poor, he's the richest man in the world, but like, Jesus yeah. Christ, what if that had to be like, I mean, there's no way, is he going to play after this?
Oh, I'm sure. I felt bad for him.
You think he's going to play?
Oh, he has to.
Just because, like, there's no way you could go out on that?
There's no way he's going out on that.
I was also looking at his brother, because they kept cutting to his brother, and I was thinking, like, actually, this is probably one of the weirdest situations in the, I don't know if this has ever happened again, where somebody was losing that badly, mm-hmm. and then their sibling also plays for the NFL, is watching and knows exactly what that would feel like, but it isn't happening to him. Like, I was trying to think of who that might be worse for, Peyton or Eli, who's up there just going like, the next time I talk to him, that is going to be a terrible conversation. He's like just running through, he's just writing out things that he can say, just like crossing them out and trying again. Hey, sorry, bro. That was a tough one. Shouldn't have thrown those balls directly into the other guy's hands.
Yeah. You want to wear my rings? I have two of them.
Anyway. All right. Well, we're going to start lighthearted. So like I said, this is just a... So J.K. Rowling came out recently, and, you know, she's... This isn't the first time that she's added, like, a postscript, like a verbal postscript to part of the Harry Potter series. You know, she also announced that Dumbledore was gay when that wasn't really a part of the books at all. She was just like, nope, he's a gay man. And I mean, it's part of the, what I mean is it wasn't written into the books.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also came out recently and said that she wished that Hermione had ended up with Harry and not Ron. And part of this is an amazing way to get people to talk about J.K. Rowling again. Great choice, woman. Write like a serialized children's book, make 87 movies, and then just like every couple of years keep saying like, you know, I forgot to tell you guys, but in that one scene.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was shitting his pants in that scene. You just couldn't tell.
She's like a kid playing tag who's like, no, it's Invisibles now. No, you can't. I'm not it now because we can only be Laurel and Hardy right now. Like, she's just adding rules to the game.
She's on some George Lucas literary, like, you know what? That's not what I meant to do that time. What I really wanted to do was, you know.
And did she, is that an actual quote that she said she wished Hermione
I don't know if the word was wished. Okay. I think she said they should have.
Yeah.
Okay, just curious.
If she would have written
I'm not trying to.
She should have.
Say,
she
hey,
should have had them end up together.
You
yeah.
could have done that.
I wish that somebody would have had the power.
Yeah.
No, yes, it was her. You're right.
I'm just checking.
I guess I also. Well, did you guys. Are you watchers or readers of the Harry Potter
As
series?
I was reading the books and I saw the movies, I found it very strange that Harry and Hermione never got together, but then it became like a Mulder Scully thing, like, oh yeah, you two don't need to get together.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I actually liked it for that reason.
Yeah, I was like, I respect it more for it. I don't need to know, hey, the book's over. We can move on. Talk about something else or...
Maybe write another book.
Or write another book.
Hey, she's doing it.
Yeah.
She's
things
doing
where
it.
I'm interested to see where this conversation is going that we're going to have. Because I did think about it, and I was like, why is this even a story? Why are people getting all riled up about it?
Well, that's kind of part of the conversation they wanted to have, which is like, as a fan of something, because Rhea, you haven't really seen any of the movies or read any of the books.
No, I mean, I believe that I tweeted that morning when that came out, I don't care which children are dating which children.
Which imaginary children are dating which imaginary children.
Yeah, it's true.
Not to shit on your dreams or anything, but it's just not relevant.
But I guess I think, you know, as... I mean, I saw all those movies. I only read like half the books because they scared me too much. It was totally true. But I saw all the movies and, you know, you do fall in love with those characters. And when somebody changes the game on you like that, I do think for me as a movie fan, I like get very invested in characters. They feel like friends to me. And it's hard to imagine why you would make that decision as an author, besides just, again, drumming up press, mm-hmm. why you would come out and say anything about characters that people already love. And I really think that, especially in the Harry Potter series, people like aren't that pissed about how that went down.
I don't think
like,
so.
Like the books and the movies, she got out all right.
Yeah.
Like speaking of George Lucas, the like J.K. Rowling up until this point has like just dodged, backlash enormously. So it is going to be interesting to see. This is maybe something that tells us a little bit about what to expect from her in these offshoots, these other books that are now going to be inspired by small characters in the Harry Potter series, and then probably the movies that come from there. Girl, are you undercutting yourself?
Also, too, I think, we just live in a time now where everybody is, we all have somewhere to go put our voice on, or to put our voice out. There's Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Sometimes fans, we take too much ownership of a character or of a property, and we feel, which is understandable. Hey, just like you said, I was emotionally invested in this. I gave you all this time. Now why are you doing this to what I love so dearly? Well, because that person owns it, and they created it, and what have you. But I don't know.
I would even argue that people who did want Harry and Hermione, shippers, I believe you call them, people who are hoping for a relationship between two characters in a work of fiction, be it television, movies, or literature.
Or what?
Literature.
Ah, thank you.
I think even if you were a Harry-Hermione shipper, that this news would be frustrating to you because you've created this relationship for your own fiction between these two people that are not going to get together. And then you have an author go, yeah, I wish I would have done that. And then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I've created this.
Are you saying this is like Macklemore speaking for the gays?
Exactly. Yes,
got
it is.
Okay. Exactly. I understand. Well, moving along. And again, as I said, this is going to get incrementally
Bummertown?
More serious.
Oh, okay.
If you could play some like violins or something, Lindsay.
So, again, just to talk about our responsibility in interacting with film, that first one is just a silly thing. Can we care about this? Can we comment on this? It's just a little silly thing. What's our relationship to this? Of course, there's some two other large things that happened this week in just moviedom, and also in, you know, the world. And one is Woody Allen's daughter writing an open letter to the New York Times, describing sexual abuse. And this is Dylan Farrow. And again, Ricky, I know you've been talking about social media. So it really seems like everybody has an opinion about this, or some people have opinions about this. And I guess I have not been a lifelong Woody Allen fan. I probably saw my first of his movies just a couple of years ago. And I have seen several of his films. But I do think that, you know, it brings up an enormous question, which is that when we hear something like this and read an account, because it's a first-person account of what happened, you know, what is our responsibility as viewers and as movie watchers and as people? Are we supposed to take that into account? What are we supposed to do?
It's weird now. Everybody feels like they have to stand up and say something. I've got to say this. Go ahead.
Let me ask you a better question that's like a little bit more specific. Does it change your feeling in your own self if you watch a Woody Allen movie? Do you think you'd be able to watch something he made now and not think of that?
I thought about it before. I mean, it was hard not to think about it before. Same thing with R. Kelly. It's like I used to champion him a lot. And then about a month or two ago, I want to say it was like 2 months ago, big articles were written about him.
Yeah.
And they actually got into like the details
right.
of these girls' experiences. And I was like, I need to start questioning what I think about R. Kelly a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. I mean, and it does kind of play like a movie in your own head
yeah.
while you're watching a movie. There's, you know, especially because she was able to like stand up and give these details, which I'm sure were really difficult for her to give. And then now that we have that much information, at least I feel like now that I have that much information, I mean,
it's hard
how anybody's going to get through the Academy Awards. I don't know. Cause I, you know,
he never goes to those things. Though,
I know, but like anything, also, anybody in his movie, you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's my point is that, I think, okay, I watched the movie Blue Jasmine. And then before that, I think the last Woody Allen movie I watched was Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And before that, I think Hannah and Her Sisters and then Manhattan. And the first movie I saw by him was Annie Hall. And I was like, this is an amazing movie. And then I watched Manhattan and I was like, this is really fucked up. This is not a good movie. I mean, it's a great produced movie, but it is not a subject matter. So every time I watched a movie, I started wondering, like, what is going on for this? And because I was too young when all this stuff was happening to really understand it and what was going on. But my long-winded point is that me, personally, Rhea Butcher, movie watcher and person in the world, I think I have actually decided to not ever watch one of his movies again because that's just how I feel about it. He is a brilliant filmmaker. He's really good at making movies. Like, he knows how movies work. Blue Jasmine is an affecting movie. Like, I haven't watched a movie and felt those emotions in a really long time. And I think that was really sad to me about art. And, like, to me, you can't really divorce those two things. It's actively happening right now. These two people are alive. We know about it, and we're having the conversation about it. This is not, like, Van Gogh or somebody that or Martin Luther King or something where we're
so you're
all
saying
like,
you can
wait,
still do
this
harm.
Happened so now we should shit on Martin Luther King. No, I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but it's actively happening. The conversation is happening now. How can we continue to give this person awards?
I think you just compared Woody Allen to
I know.
Martin.
I didn't mean to. I'm
no.
sorry. That's not what I meant.
No.
It's just a name that came out.
I understand what you're saying.
Somebody that we respect for something they've done who then also has some stuff in their life that was probably not so great.
I didn't know. I honestly just didn't do my due diligence on this, or maybe I just missed it because I wasn't watching his films. But I didn't know this story until it like resurfaced, you know, when his family was tweeting about it, like during the Golden Globes. I didn't know that any of this had come up or that these things had happened. I knew about his wife because that's like, I think half of the jokes that were made on late night TV shows
sure.
when we were children
yeah,
were
totally.
About
yeah.
Woody Allen marrying Sun Yi is her name.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But
what about you, Cameron? Are you going to watch any Woody Allen movies?
You know, I don't think that I will. And you know what is also wild is that I really liked the movie Vicky Cristina Barcelona. I like loved that movie.
Yeah.
I like loved that movie.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel so gross also.
Yeah.
Like knowing that I liked something. I also think that, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. I think this is part of your point as well, Rhea, that obviously he has a really complicated and like fucked up relationship with women. That's what all of his relationships or what all of his movies are about. And then to find out like, oh, it actually is.
Oh, it's because that's how he is.
Yeah, it's not like a silly bantering thing. It's like a horror thing. That does feel like the tables are really turned for me. I just didn't know it. So I don't think I will be seeing any more of his films.
Hmm.
But on to our final. And
can I just say that I did not mean to put Martin Luther King Jr. and Woody Allen in
on,
the
Rhea.
Same.
No, it's all
no,
right.
I mean,
one man tried to free his people.
because I don't actually know the specifics of what people say about Martin Luther King's bad deeds, so I shouldn't have brought him into the conversation. So
Martin
Luther King is known to have enjoyed the company of women who were not his wife.
Okay, but were they adult women?
They were adult women.
Then I don't give a fuck. That's between him and his wife. I mean, that's really sad for her.
Yes.
But, okay. Just
yes. So that's
consent
why I'm,
being
that's why I'm
a large
retracting.
Issue.
I didn't mean to put those two things together, and that's not what I... That was not my intention, so...
You know,
everyone listening, please.
Retraction.
And you know what, Rhea? During Black History Month. I just want to point that out.
We're only in week one! Of this short-ass month.
I was trying to think of that expressionist that painted islanders in, like, the 1800s gave the whole island syphilis. I can't even...
Why don't you...
Child brides on the island. That's who I was trying to think of.
You should have compared him to Obama, you know, like...
He's sort of like Malcolm X, really. When
he's
you think
kind
about
of,
it.
Yeah. It's like, if I think of, like, Rosa Parks getting in, like, the...
No, who I should have compared him to is Michael Jackson. For
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Now that is
not
a black person who is similar in some ways. Good point, Rhea.
Okay, good lord. Roman Polanski, perhaps?
You could have said Roman Polanski.
I was trying to think
there
of somebody that was dead that wasn't currently actively happening. That's what I'm sorry. Anyway, we can move on to the next.
But Michael Jackson is also a black person. Like, that's not a slur.
Also dead.
That's
his
true. Also
dead.
Very dead.
Yeah, uh-huh. So we did it. We did a good job. We got to it. Ooh, contentious today
this
on the show.
This is a good one.
This is the final... thing that I want to discuss, of course, Philip Seymour Hoffman's passing yesterday at 46. We're recording this on Monday, and he passed yesterday on Sunday. And just to name a few of the films, and we'll start with his more relevant to this show, Mission Impossible 3, Hunger Games, but also in my own personal favorite of his movies, Doubt and his turn in Magnolia, which I don't even like that movie, but I liked him in it. And Boogie Nights, when he is amazing. And actually, I think might upstage a prosthetic penis in that movie.
It's pretty great.
My reaction yesterday to this was that Philip Seymour Hoffman is one of those actors that you're never disappointed to see. He never is the reason a movie isn't good. He is only improving the things around him when he is in a movie. You're happy to see him every time he shows up. His performance in The Master was, like, sexy and affecting. And he's this, like, goofy-looking, you know, not a Hollywood bod, not a Hollywood chin, you know. But everything about him in that movie was perfectly attractive in this way that was so great for that film. And that movie for me was about him being in that movie. And it's a huge loss. I can't even think of another actor that is working right now who I would be sadder to see go because of his relatively young age and how talented I think he was.
Yeah, I was pissed. I was real upset. It sucked. It's like, man, that's my guy. Like, ugh. I just started thinking, like, of all the movies I loved him in, the ones you've named, movies I forgot that I fucking loved him in. The 25th Hour, he's so great in that.
That Hat.
Doubt, I forgot how fucking great he is in that. He's great in Sin of a Woman. He plays the young little asshole.
That's right.
And he would either be like the asshole that you'd love to hate, or you were the dude where when he showed up, you're like, I love this guy. You know? He was just like so dope. Hard Eight is streaming on Netflix. I'm gonna give my shout out at the end of the show right now. See Hard Eight.
I've never seen it.
It's so great. He has a small part in it, but it's just one of those where you're like, oh, who's that guy? I'd like to see him. I like to see that character more, and I want to see that actor more. He's just so great.
He's like the only actor, I think probably, who could equally be physical and goofy and weird, and also completely silent and still, and convey an equal amount of emotion or movement or intent in both of those places. And you could see that every performance was like a series of well-thought-out choices. Everything that he did had a purpose. He was like an athlete, you know? And that's, to me, in his films, it's clear his work, his like stage work is very evident in like every role that he played. I read a really interesting short blog post by James Urbaniak.
I read that as well.
He went out, auditioned for the part of a troll who was living in a writer's closet, and he thought he had, you know, nailed it and had this troll down, and he didn't get the part, and he later went to go see it, and Philip Seymour Hoffman had gotten the part and was playing this troll, like, crawling out on the floor and was, like, living as this troll instead of just an idea of a troll. And he said he still thinks about that to this day, like, how much you should commit to everything, that he committed 2,000% to every role.
Right.
And I think that, like, parts like Heart 8 and even Along Came Polly, he's the best part in Along Came Polly. He's one of the best parts in The Big Lebowski.
One of the best parts in Twister.
Yeah, every movie that he's in, even if it is a shitty movie, then he's the best part. If it's a great movie, then he is what is keeping it from being shitty.
Well, I think the final thing I want to say on this is that, you know, it is, in something like the Dylan Farrow case, or not case, but situation, sometimes it's hard to read what people are writing on social media because it feels like a hard thing to listen to other people have an opinion on. I mean, that's something that happened to this woman, and it sounds horrific. And to just read any stranger's opinion on that, it's like, it's a little bit nauseating to me. I just don't want to hear what, like, a person I tangentially know thinks about this topic that is, you know, so outside of their experience. In Philip Seymour Hoffman's case, I had the opposite reaction, which is that, because he was a public figure personally, you know, he wasn't writing it, and because it was, this isn't, it like, they're full, like, a really nice, to me it feels really nice that, like, we're kind of mourning this together and all talking about this together, because he was out there, he was in the public sphere, and none of these people who are writing about him, you know, besides obviously like James Urbaniak or something like mm-hmm. that, you know, they know him, but the rest of us are just, but we still all experienced him, and we still all had that, like, connection there. So it actually has felt very nice to me that there's, like, a place that we can go when somebody passes that is that much connected to that many people's lives, because he was in so many huge movies.
I did see some people, like, oh, like, kind of poo-pooing, tweeting about him or, you know, missing him publicly. But I agree with you. I feel like what is art for if we're not experiencing it together, especially a public art forum like film and TV and movie and, you know, stage and stuff. And then I would even say, like, it is really hard to read whoever's opinion on, like, whether Woody Allen did this or not. But I think also, as much as this is hard to read and see, the fact that we are actually having a conversation where people are saying, like, you have to stop knee-jerk blaming victims and just assuming she's trying to get his money or just assuming he's right because he's some famous filmmaker. I think eventually the fact that we can have these types of nauseating conversations, it will hopefully lead to a wider understanding of these things happening.
Wow, Rhea, you fucking saved the shit out of that Martin Luther King comment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With what you just said right there, because it was smart and to the point. We're going to leave it on that. Rhea Butcher, ladies and gentlemen, bringing it in at the last moment.
Yep.
And we will be back with a new Pitch It after this.
I am so proud to be an American and to be hosting Throwing Shade with you.
I am proud to have really deep brown eyes.
Well, this is actually supposed to be, you know, this is supposed to be a... Hmm? thing so that people listen to our
show. I've just been so busy this week.
Oh, okay.
But I'm very happy to be here. The podcast is called...
It's called Throwing Shade. You're the co-host.
Right.
Yeah.
So Throwing Shade, we talk
You're
about...
You're the gay co-host. I'm the female co-host.
I always forget.
We're friends in real life, kind of. And we talk about lady and gay issues.
Yeah.
And we talk about them in a way that is really disrespectful.
Yeah. If you love the world and hate yourself...
Please listen to Throwing Shade.
Yeah.
And we are back, and maybe we're even shifting the tone of the show again. I don't know. I was yelling.
The tone is back up.
Bring in the clowns.
No. God, I didn't mean to do that to your poor ears. That was everybody's like, we were just feeling really soulful and connected. And then I was like, pa-pow, slam-a-da-ba-doo. All right.
What was that last part?
Slam-a-da-ba-doo. That's what you say while you're eating salami.
Oh, that's great.
You know?
That's like Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ. That is like Adam Sandler.
Just saying.
Where is that guy? I think I ate that guy. Hey, okay, so pitch it. This is that game where it's not a game, it's a real thing. I'm a movie executive. I can make anything happen in the world. Not just movies, like other stuff, weather events. I can make you pregnant.
With joy?
Yes. So this week I have asked these two lowly interns to come in. I don't know why I asked interns. I mean, I have executives and like development people, but I was like, interns are where it's at because I'm trying to get the youth. I'm trying to get the youth.
I think you have snapping. Non-lowly interns also. You could just have regular interns.
No. Like but there's other interns above you.
I feel like every time we get called in, our position gets lower and lower.
Yeah.
Even though we've been consistently selling screenplays.
Exactly. We have a solid track record here.
Every time you sell me a screenplay, I fire you a little more.
Those posters on that wall behind you are our movies.
I can't believe you guys put up with this shit.
It's pretty
bad. You should quit and start your own.
We're going to Warner Brothers.
Nobody else will take my calls, to be quite honest.
All right, well, ladies, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, the Lego movie looks good. But what about a Hungry Hungry Hippos movie? Mm. That's right, Hasbro and Emmett Furla have partnered to make this happen. Emmett Furla is a production company that made Escape Plan and End of Watch. We've reviewed those on our show. I'm an executive, but I also have a podcast. And that's the show I'm talking about. Now, this Hippos movie has actually been put on hold because
I wonder why.
No, not even for the reason you think. Is the reason
stupidity?
Nope. That's not why. It's because the financing was coming from a Stephen Smertzer.
You need a speaking spell.
It's the Adam Sandler voice again.
Stephen Smertzer and Remington Chase. Mm. Now, these are two dudes who they backed Lone Survivor. They've backed like, I think a dozen movies or something in the last 10 years. But LA Weekly recently out and covered that because they like showed up in Hollywood and also they're using fake name. Like Remington Chase is a name as it sounds. They showed up in Hollywood with all this money and they started financing movies. And of course, like about, a couple years later, we find out, it's drug money.
Oh.
It's drug money.
Say what now?
That these guys have a criminal past. They were like in prison and they're using drug money and they're fucking funneling it right into Hippos.
And you mean to tell me his real name is not Remington Chase?
Can you believe it?
1 second.
And the other guy's name is Sir Monster.
I could just see them doing lines right off of it. Like right where you would put the white balls for Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Yeah, exactly.
Just doing lines right out of there.
That's right. So this is what offends me about this. Not just that they are using drug money, but that they are using drug money to make a terrible film. Either of these things, you can't have both at once. You maybe make a terrible film if you got the money from helping babies to be reunited with their parents or other people. You could maybe make a terrible movie if it wasn't financed by drugs, but you can't finance a terrible movie with drug money. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've asked you guys to bring in your idea for the 80s video, the 80s game or a toy okay. inspired movie that we're going to finance with all this drug money. That was, you couldn't see this at home, but I pointed to a pretty big pile of drug money.
Huge.
Okay.
Oh, this has been pretty poor taste right after the Philip Seymour Hoffman thing, isn't it?
No,
I just realized that.
No, I feel like it's...
I fucking hate myself. We are doing a great job today. No, it's not drug money. I made this money from not doing drugs or selling them.
You made that money from saving babies.
Yes.
And helping them with their
families.
We
built this money on rock and roll.
Damn it.
It's just another Monday.
Okay,
on
Rhea,
a tiny old thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please, I would like to start with you. What is the film that you would like to propose?
Okay. I would like to propose a movie that is directed by John Hughes. Stars a young woman who receives a magical set of drumsticks that can play on anything. She also gets sent back in time to appear in all the drum-related historical events, like The Little Drummer Boy, Gene Krupa, Ringo Starr, and Uncle Jesse on those bongos with the Beach Boys. She goes to them all. She also ends up wooing Leah Thompson. This movie is the Hit Sticks movie. It's also titled Some Kind of Drummerful, comma, Hit Sticks, colon, the movie.
Wow.
Thank you.
Rhea, that was great.
Thanks.
And because I know you personally have been to your house, I know you have a pair of working Hit Sticks.
I do have a wide and I forgot to bring them. Damn it.
Those are dope, by the way. I've seen those sticks. Mm-hmm. They are dope.
Ricky,
I can't believe I missed
this
opportunity.
What did you... That's what they sound like, right?
Actually, I'm going to record it, and I'm going to send it to Lindsay, and I'm going to have, her put them in right here.
Don't take out that last drum that I did, though. That was good.
The Hit Sticks are going right here. Weren't those Hit Sticks great? Okay, I want to hear Ricky's.
Oh. But wait, those, what if the, doesn't that sound like sleeping Hit Sticks? Wait, think about it now.
Are they wearing a little hat and swaying back and forth like Hiss in Robin Hood? Yeah. The Disney version?
All right, Ricky, what did you bring in?
All right, so if it ain't broke, I'm not going to fix it. We're going to take the Transformers. We're going to get them.
Ricky!
Boo, hey.
Okay,
but
all right.
Then what we're also going to do is we're going to bring in the GoBots.
Oh.
Who are the Transformers? If your parents couldn't afford Transformers, they bought you GoBots.
Off-brand Transformers.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put the Transformers and the GoBots inside of a Best Buy, and it's going to be like The Mist.
Ooh. Oh, Ricky, you have won me back.
Ooh, it's like that Radio Shack commercial from that game yesterday that where that one guy got sad because he lost it.
Exactly. And, it's not monsters that are outside that are trying to take them away. It is humans who are outside and trying to take them away.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a struggle between the GoBots and the Transformers. They will be selling each other out.
Ooh.
Do they rock? Do they sock? M? Rock'em, sock'em?
Rock'em, sock'em.
Rock'em, sock'em joke.
I got it.
No, I was with you.
It was bad.
And I'm not going to tell you how it ends because we're going to have to, you're going to have to see the movie.
Does a GoBot and a Transformer ever have a sex with each other, have a fast pregnancy, deliver a baby that has half of one side of a GoBot, half of one side of a Transformer?
Have you seen my script? Because it sounds like you just read page 83.
That sounds good. Can you imagine a little pregnant Transformer where, like, they just pull down the hood of the car and then there's and then it gets bigger in a different way?
I think
it'd
be like
just
a
pull it up
like a radio.
A little,
there's like a piston
it opens
going.
And a cassette comes out.
And then a carburetor falls on the ground, and then that carburetor turns
oh,
into
my
a
carburetor
lima
broke.
Bean, which then becomes a bug.
A lima bean?
What you?
Which?
What is this
please,
big?
Can I ask you? Did you never have a lima bean Transformer?
I did not. No.
What kind of stuff did you have? If you didn't have bean Transformer.
Well, we didn't have food Transformer. We had food, and like we ate the food.
What about food fighters?
Like when it wasn't cooked.
Food fighters were the coolest.
Yeah, I like that. Food
All right.
Fighters.
Okay. Not the Foo Fighters, by the way. There's going to be somebody who listens to that who's like, the Foo Fighters. No. Food Fighters. Look it up. Google image. Now, I already know what my answer. It's absolutely the right choice. I completely agree with myself on this. Rhea. Rhea gets her movie made. Because here's why. I love the idea of the hit sticks traveling through other things. Plus, the title was amazing. Now, Ricky, I still want to put your script through a little R&D.
Okay.
To try and get, figure out, you know.
I got Frank Darabont attached to direct it, coming back. You know, he's on board. Oh. What's that? Yes, soundtrack by the RZA.
Okay.
Indeed.
Wow. Wait, can I ask you a question? All right, let me follow this up then. Now, I want Rhea's to be the big budge.
Okay.
Many screens. Now, Ricky, would you make this movie if we made it an indie film?
I would make it.
Because I feel like we've had too many Transformers blockbusters.
I would make it an indie
film. What if it's a smaller, more intimate Transformer?
Ooh,
I would make it a television miniseries event.
Ooh,
I would do an HBO.
And it's in your house.
Transhomers? Is that what you said?
It's a Transformers. It's a Transformer for your house.
Mm.
It's a Transhomer.
A Transhomer.
Transhomers. I think it
works.
Well, send it to the presses. This is stamped with approval, and we will be back after this with a review of Ninja 2. Today's episode of Wham Bam Pow is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers a support team available 24/7. Squarespace offers a brand new logo generator to design your own logo. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Go to squarespace.com and make sure you use the offer code WHAM. That's all one word, WHAM, and get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website for the internet! And now is the time of the show when we give you a brief review of a dick flick. Believe it or not, and I was very happy about this, somebody recently reached out to me on Twitter and asked me, "Hey Cameron, why do you call it a dick flick?" And I said, "Because it rhymes with chick flick, but it's about dude stuff usually, like blowing stuff up." Now, hey, we don't subscribe to a binary system. We're just being cheeky.
It's funny, and it's also reductive in the way that chick flick is.
Exactly.
That's what I like. Uh-huh. A little transgressive.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what transgressive means, but
no,
I think
that's exactly
it.
What it is.
I'm still trying to figure out Transhomer.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down with all these big words today.
Transhomers, Transformers in your home.
That makes no sense.
That was great.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Now
it's
it
not
makes
delivery,
sense.
Not it's Transhomers.
Nope.
Shut up.
Lindsay is literally saying, what? I just want to let everybody know that.
All right. Well, today for the show, we reviewed 2013's Ninja 2, which is available right now on Netflix Watch Instant. This movie, if you could call it that, is directed by Isaac Florentine. Now, here's an interesting thing about this dude. He was the second unit director and stunt choreographer for 60 episodes of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh my goodness.
And that is the kind of quality you can expect from this film.
I could see the influence. I could see the influence.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's also the director of Ninja, which of course came before this one, and something called Undisputed 2 and Undisputed 3. Which were
seems like it's disputed.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to dispute this again, please.
Oh, that one really
seems
got
like
me.
These missions might be possible.
That's one of my favorites.
So, obviously, the dude, if you would know, if you would just make a guess, like an educated guess from the title Ninja, Ninja 2, or from his work on Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you might think, hey, he has a background in martial arts. That's like the kind of movies and TV he makes, and you're totally right. And the only thing that's really interesting to me about that is that he was originally born in Israel, and his parents are Holocaust survivors. Mm. This movie also stars Scott Adkins. Mm. He is the ninja, too. But he's also in the Ninja 1 movie. And he's also been in Zero Dark Thirty, The Bourne Ultimatum. He was in that Undisputed movie, which was then disputed two
I'd
more
like
times.
I'd like to dispute this.
I dispute thee.
Possibly my favorite thing about this guy, though, is that he was also Weapon 11 in X-Men Origins. X-Men Origins.
What would you like, X-Men or Jeans? I'm going to go with Jeans on this one.
We're having a great time.
X-Men or Jeans.
X-Men or Jeans. X-Men or Jean Grey. I'm going to go with that.
He was in X-Men Origins Wolverine. He plays Weapon 11. Do you guys remember that final fight? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I didn't.
Cameron, I can't believe you assume that I've seen X-Men Origins Wolverine.
You guys can
both. I thought we were friends.
You guys can both get out of here.
How dare you?
You can both get out of here. Listen, who cares about you?
I'm taking my X-Men Origins and walking on out of here.
I'm Transformering out of here.
Well, I saw that movie. And Ryan Reynolds plays that guy who's named Weapon 11. But guy does the punching.
Oh. Ah. I thought Ryan Reynolds was Deadpool.
Yes, it's the same
Oh,
guy.
Sorry, I don't know anything about comic books.
No, it's like not from the comic books. It's just written into this movie as a way of including Deadpool in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, interesting because you said, what actor does this guy remind you of, this Scott Adkins guy? Not Trace Adkins, by the way, who I think is also a person. Maybe he makes music.
Not the Adkins diet either?
No, it's not Dr. Adkins. Rhea, who did you say this guy reminds you of?
Anne Affleck.
And, oh my God, by the way, when you just said that, you should totally sell that insurance.
I should.
That's
Anne
great.
Affleck.
I wrote down starring, quote, not Ben Affleck.
So this guy had a Batman audition.
Did he really? I believe it.
By the way, he should play Batman. Sorry, Ben Affleck. I choose off-brand Ben Affleck. I choose the GoBots of you over you.
Ben Affleck, though, we love you. Friend of the show.
Oh, that guy gives me such a cramp. Now, let's do a quick summary of this movie. This ninja's out
for... movie. Sorry.
This ninja's out for revenge when his pregnant wife is murdered. That's the whole thing.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's it.
Sad.
Also, I learned that the term gaijin means outside person, and is the Japanese word for foreigner. Okay. That's in this movie a lot. Mm. You were like, what does that mean? Girl, I looked it up.
Girl, I got you. I looked this up.
Uh-huh. Now, I'd like to go through some best worst. I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I didn't finish this movie.
What?
First movie I haven't been able to make it through.
Oh, come on!
I tried to watch it after the Super Bowl. I got 1 hour in, and I was like, I can't believe I missed New Girl and Prince for this.
First
and I don't
all,
even care.
I can't believe you did that as well. They're fighting! They're ninjas!
Boring.
Ninjas.
It's the most boring thing.
No, they hardly talk. There's hardly any talking in
my
life.
It's just
fighting.
That's the problem.
I noticed that I wasn't sleeping, but my brain had turned off.
Oh.
I had to press the side of my head and hold it like a power button just to reboot my mind. I couldn't do it. And I just couldn't do it. And I'm sorry to the podcast listeners who made it through this and who I let down. And I'm sorry to my two co-hosts here. But I don't care about this movie.
I see a
and I never will.
Shadow of a tear on running down your eye now.
I'm so sorry. But let's start with some best and worst. Rhea, what is the worst part of this movie?
Well, you know, I'm going to skip the obvious that it's not very entertaining and hard to watch. It just didn't keep my attention is the thing. But I'm going to skip that and go to specifically... The gore effects were really bad. They were laughably bad. And actually, it was so bad that it kind of came back around again and became entertaining. So I could actually put it on my best and my worst.
Hmm.
But for the sake of argument, I'm putting it on the worst. Because there's a moment where like the main villain, Goru, I believe is his name, the ninja cuts his head off. But it's behind him. He, like, cuts behind him, and he's, like, making eye contact with us, cutting off the villain's head. And then the villain's head pops off, and it is so clearly, like, a wig head, like one of those wig busts that you put, like, a wig on to just display the wig. It's not the right size.
It doesn't have a face?
It has no hair on it. No, because it's like 4 feet behind him. And somebody just went pink and knocked it over so that it bounces.
Oh,
it's
now I can't, believe I didn't see this.
It slices his head off.
It's a great move. I'm just laughing at the actual... It's kind of like that moment in Equilibrium where I'm like, there is a cookie of a face on the ground. But also the blood is like a really weird texture, and then he gets an iron on his... Somebody holds an iron to his leg for a good 20 seconds,
it's
and he pulls it away, and it's just like... Like grease paint of an iron. And then they could have really done some more. There's like a kill weapon that the villain has that's like a barbed wire rope that he ties around.
A little necklace.
And it just goes around, and then there's like really not anything happening to them. It just takes away from the drama that there's not very much.
You want to see more
FX?
More like little sputing out
something.
Little it just veins and stuff.
Jive well with me.
Ricky?
That's my worst part.
Worst part of the movie are the obvious things. It's not the best acted movie. They are not trying to tell you the most elaborate story in the world. I really wasn't that crazy. I mean, to get very specific, I wasn't crazy about, like, his sidekick guy, his cab driver.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That guy. I kind of liked it at first because I was like, the whole movie, I knew what I was getting into. I knew I was like, this is going to be some kind of like B movie. I knew that it was pretty much like a rehash of the first one, which I haven't seen. But I heard like they went like the Evil Dead 2 route where it was like, all right, let's just kind of make the same movie again. But now we got a little bit more money, a little bit more experience. Let's kind of hone it and get it right. So I was kind of like, oh, man, like this cab driver, he kind of reminded me of... what's his name? In Escape from New York, the guy who drives his cab, the old actor. What's
Steve
your
Buscemi?
Name? No, no. In the first one.
Oh,
I don't
in the
know.
First one, I forget.
But I love that dude. I thought they were gonna go that route with it, and then the way they do go with it, I was like, oh, that was just kind of cheesy.
He sells him out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't like that. I thought that was
you
kind
just
of,
can't well, really actually tell what's happening, but then you're like, oh, it's the thing I would guess that it would.
You
be.
Don't have to pay. There was a couple of times where when I was watching the movie on my laptop. And usually I will pause a movie if I have to go to the kitchen or something.
Oh, yeah. I did the
dishes
during this movie.
I was like, I'm pretty sure if I come back in 2 minutes, I'll be able to pick up what's still happening.
I just forgot I wasn't watching it. I, like, put it back on and was like, oh, I've just been on my phone for 40 minutes. I don't know what... Oh, no. I know what happened.
Well, my worst part is that Isaac Florentine was born.
Wow.
And therefore was able to make this movie.
That's pretty rough.
Due
why
to him
do you
being
hate
alive.
This movie?
I
hate's a strong word. I won't say hate.
No, I hate this movie.
Why do
I
you
found
hate
this movie,
movie
to be less interesting than staring at my darkened TV when I turned the movie off.
Wow.
Wow.
This is my Cherry 2000,
wow.
Ricky.
Wow.
Like, right. I know you hated that movie,
yeah.
But I thought that movie was watchable and
wow.
silly. This movie, holy heck.
Okay.
Rhea, what is your best part?
My best part is actually, this is not a great movie. It wasn't even fun for me to watch it. Like, I couldn't even enjoy it. I kind of feel the same way as you, Cameron, that, like, Cherry 2000 was ridiculous and not a good movie. But at least it was, to me, personally, in my opinion, funny and weird. There's just nothing funny and weird about this movie. And the action sequences were good. But here's what I like about it. This movie looked amazing for what it was. And that actually gives me hope. Because if this movie was made 20 years ago, it would have been shot on, like, home video. It would have looked like absolute garbage. I know I was like picking on the VFX or whatever, but it still was a capable movie in terms of like the. And you know what? I'm just going to switch gears and say that it's the fighting sequences because you never, ever see martial arts movies where you can tell what's happening and they actually look like they're fighting each other.
Well, they have good martial artists in this movie.
Yeah.
Like they are. That's actually my best part.
Not, yeah.
No, but like, I think
Cameron,
they are doing
you said
a,
it like,
Well, I think that they are doing a very, hey, if this was just like clips or, I mean,
just
the
not,
fights are cool. I'm not saying the fights aren't cool. It's just that like, I couldn't even.
It's not campy.
I had so,
It's not campy.
It's not campy.
It's also not the Expendables, and it's not really like there. And then there's also the drama that's happening. I don't care. You know, there's not really anything. So it just it falls to me as a complete zero. Like it doesn't bother me. I also wasn't into it. It's like just totally neutral on the.
I guess I feel like pH it's tough scale. To take this movie seriously as any way to spend 2 hours when
only an hour and a half.
Okay. When, like, Kill Bill exists, and I know when we first started doing this podcast, I wasn't even a fan of that movie.
Yeah.
But I will say that that is good martial arts integrated into a good movie. Like, the
that's
stuff
a
in,
tough
the way that they're.
To make,
but the way that
to
they're.
Pit him against Quentin Tarantino,
that's
it's like,
pretty lofty.
But, like, no, I'm not even meaning that. What okay. I mean is that. I'm not saying I'm comparing the two. I'm saying I'm comparing my time. I'm saying that, like, other movies exist in the world. If this was the only movie that existed in the world, you should tell your friends to just fight each other instead.
Okay.
That would be more entertaining. Okay, Ricky, what is your best part?
I have several best parts in this movie.
Oh, Ricky.
We're at this point now. With action movies, I think where we've, and this movie's one of them, where like in the 80s, it was like, I don't know if we've talked about this before, in the 80s, it was like brute strength. And then like through the 90s, to like, pretty much like to the Matrix came out and then like Crouching Tiger. Then it was like, all right, we don't want to see brute strength anymore. We actually want to see the actors fighting and we want it to actually like look almost like a dance, you know? It's very choreographed. And I thought this movie, it was a good kind. It's not on the same level of The Matrix. I'm not making that comparison. But it is on the same level, I think, or in the same kind of wheelhouse as another great action movie with The Raid, where it's just like, right, these are two normal-ass looking dudes. I mean, the guy's ripped, but it's not like, you know, Stallone ripped or anything like that. And it's like fucking, it feel like they're getting hit in that movie. And I really like seeing, I don't know, it just feels good to like see, we're so reliant on like CGI in movies now. Oh, you want to see an action movie? It means you're going to see some shit blow up. Oh, no, I mean, I also just wouldn't mind seeing some dudes like whoop each other's ass or just some kind of action like that. Something where it's not like, there's no real emotional investment to it because it's just pixels I'm looking at or, you know, fake fire that's blowing up. So I really liked the movie a lot for that. I thought the fighting was badass. All the fighting scenes when he fucking slices his head off, head slice freeze frame, he slices his head off, and then it freeze frames with him like looking. To me, that's just like dope 80s kung fu
that
movie
part was
move.
Awesome.
I was like,
I'm
hell
just
yeah.
laughing at the doll head that popped
it was,
off in
it
the
was.
Background.
It, it
that's
was.
All.
It was. It was.
The inflatable head that they used. Beach ball in the background.
I will not debate you on the fighting scenes. The fights are great.
Yes.
Great fights, that's my best part. Cool fucking punches. Also, this dude's got a nice chest. Weird that it's
trimmed.
He's got
yeah,
trimmed.
Yeah, he's got like a weird like Henry like Superman.
Hair.
I can't imagine.
Very strange that he's got. But yeah, I like his bod though. Like it, like you're saying it's cool to see. He's like he's clearly very big, but he's like also just like in interesting shape and he's like beautiful to watch. He's great at moving around. So I mean like he's a beautiful mover.
Can I add something? I was troubled by it, but now I'm kind of realizing this is maybe actually my best part is that they included a couple of white people in the dojo, which that was in Thailand. I don't know how many white people in dojos in Thailand there are, but I think it was an interesting choice for that movie because he was like the only white dude and he's the star.
It would have
of
been
the movie.
More disappointing.
It would have been weirder
because
if he was the only
when
white
when we
dude.
First yeah. saw the reveal of the fact that like at the beginning
I was pretty bummed
he's
about
the
it.
White dude and yeah. everybody else is Japanese. It was like so I yes, it is so much better that you get to see some other context where it doesn't have to be like this one white hero.
It was a little bit multiracial. It wasn't just yeah. you know, anyway.
Well, what if we just get to some ratings? Are we ready for ratings?
Let's do it.
Okay, awesome. Well, so Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5 tiny women staring adoringly at their much larger husbands, how many tiny women staring adorably at their much larger husbands do you give this film?
I give it 1.5 adorable tiny women staring lovingly. I can't remember all
Who
of it.
Who cares? Yeah.
Gigantic husbands at 1.5.
Ricky, scale.
I give it 5.
Scale of 1 to 5 strangle whips. How many strangle whips you give Ninja 2?
I give it 3 strangle
Whoa.
Whips.
Woo!
Hot.
It's just above average. Good.
On a scale of 1 to 5, holy shit, no amount of fight choreography is worth this. I give Ninja 2 0.
Oh,
0.
What?
0.
Oh,
0.
Cameron.
Nothing. I take it back. Oh. Negative. Negative
what?
Things.
Wait a second.
I wish I'd watched other movies less. This movie made me hate movies. This movie made me wish I didn't have a television. So I could have seen it on a smaller thing like a phone. I wish I'd seen it on a regular phone plugged into a wall. I wish I'd seen it on a payphone. I didn't want to see this movie on anything.
What about a Game Boy?
I wish this movie was on my Game Boy Mini with cool gold color that I have, which is like a kind of an older thing.
How about a Tiger Electronics handheld?
I wish I'd seen this movie on a Papa Shot basketball game. I wish this movie was a Super Soaker so I could shoot it. I hate this movie. This movie is the worst movie I've ever seen. This movie made me wish I had never had food so that I would be hungry and I would have left the house.
Wow.
Papa Shot Basket.
I didn't like this movie very much. Well, we'll leave you with this. Rhea, what do you think about this week?
Wow, I'm still recovering from that. I have 2 things. Number 1, we just happened to watch 1 episode of Bob's Burgers the other night, and there was a very simple joke that made me laugh for a solid half an hour, which was, I don't even remember what the movie was called, Twincinnati?
Twincinnati. Two twins in Cincinnati.
It was like a movie that they rented for a slumber party, and it just really got me. So if anybody else completely lost their minds when they heard that joke, please tweet it at me, because there's got to be somebody else.
I've never seen Rhea laugh like that.
I laughed so hard. It was perfectly
Our dog Murphy was really nervous.
He was scared. He didn't know what was happening to me. So there's that joke. And then the other thing I wanted to leave everybody with, because I'm super bummed that Philip Seymour Hoffman died too, because I kind of feel like that guy, we do movies that made us on the show, and I actually think he's like an actor that made me, because he's basically been in everything that I saw when I was growing up and like becoming an adult in a way. And I remember seeing Scent of a Woman and like realizing who he was, and then getting my hands on Big Lebowski and stuff. But I think probably the movie that he had the most profound effect on me for tons of reasons, I think, is actually, and still, is Boogie Nights. And I think Scotty is this character that is really affecting, and like everybody can relate to that guy if you're gay or straight. Everybody has felt really uncomfortable in who they are and trying to find themselves. And I just, that guy played that part so earnestly and honestly and truthfully that it's really sticking to me. And then to go and play the Mattress King in Punch Drunk Love, who else has been that? So anyway, I just want to leave everybody with Scotty, because everybody's a little bit Scotty. So that's it.
That's great.
Ricky, what about you? What are you thinking about this week?
The Mattress King. I watched that scene. That was one of the few scenes I was like, I'll watch this scene yesterday.
That outtake is amazing.
It's great.
I fucked up my guitar.
My name is Barry Egan. Shut the fuck up.
God.
I also wanted to add on to another Philip Seymour Hoffman movie that I would recommend. Same along lines of you. I definitely consider this a movie that made me. It's Heart 8. It's Paul Thomas Anderson's first movie. Philip Seymour Hoffman does not have a huge part in it, but he just plays this one role that to this day, I still, every once in a while, I will call somebody a big timer. What'd you say, big timer? Because he's just one of those guys, man, he just, as soon as he shows up, he was just one of those guys where you're like, oh, I can't take my eyes off this guy. And he's so great in it. And it's a great movie. It's streaming on Netflix, Hard Eight. And other thing is, we all tell jokes. Rhea and I will be telling jokes at the Improv on Saturday night alongside Mr. Ian Carmel. Matt Bronger will be headlining it. There will be a ton of funny people on there whose other names I can't remember right now.
And that's the Improv here in Hollywood.
Sunny Hollywood, California, on Melrose Avenue.
If you're in LA, himself.
If you're in LA, you can go check that out.
Yes.
And I am thinking about this week. I'm actually thinking about the Lego movie, which we are going to see for next week. That is a spoiler. Well, not for next week. We're off next week due to some travel. My sister is visiting, and I need to have some time hanging out with her for the week because I haven't seen her in a long time.
Bring in the studio.
Yeah, I was trying to break it to
like
her.
Like we do with Murphy. Yeah, just hang out on the floor, around.
So I will be with family, and that is the reason that Ricky and Rhea have been so kind as to take a week off for me to do that. And so we'll be back at you, and we will be watching the Lego movie. And I am thinking about the Lego movie because I loved Lego as a child. I like loved them. Was super into it. Built both them. And I love Lego guys. From the posters and the etc., I don't even know if I've watched the trailer. It looks like there's one girl in this movie. And what I hope is that there are other Lego ladies.
How much money do you want to put on that?
I bet there will be zero other Lego ladies. Because you got to make room for Batman and Superman Lego guys.
Right.
So maybe this is also a time when I'm saying, like, hey, a lot of gals, I know this isn't like a new thing that we're hearing about. I know that there's been some controversy lately because they've been making like pink Lego sets, which is heartbreaking to me because we don't necessarily need like girly Legos. Everybody can build a whatever. So anyway, if you're a listener and you've got a kid and that kid is a girl, make sure that she has Lego. And if you are a listener and you have a kid and that kid is a boy, do the same thing. They are both going to end up awesome. You heard it here first from this guy who turned out awesome. We will be back on February 20th. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlos. Thank you, Lindsay. And Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.